Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 11, verse 6. Romans 11, verse 6. It says, "And if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise work is no more work." Let's pray. Father, again, what a blessing to be here tonight. And we thank you for all that you're doing on our behalf. And thank you for each one that's here, for those who aren't because they're traveling and all. Father, we pray that you watch over them, keep them safe, bring them back to us. We just thank you for what you're going to accomplish tonight as we look at this and continue on these doctrines of salvation. And we're thankful for all that you're going to accomplish tonight. And we'll not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So salvation is 100% by grace with no mixture of works or merit on the part of man. Some object that if we have anything to do with choosing to accept God rather than being irresistibly drawn, then grace is denied because man came to God rather than God coming to man. The biblical position, however, is that all men indeed would reject God and therefore must be drawn by God's enabling grace. This is the grace of God that bringeth salvation, which hath appeared to all men. And the drawing of all men after Christ is lifted up on the cross. So Titus 2:11 is where part of that comes from. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And John 12:32, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Obviously, that's the Lord Jesus Christ saying, if he be lifted up, and he was, when he was nailed to the cross, he was lifted up. As we go through our day, what are we supposed to do? Lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So that people will be drawn to him. And so praise the Lord for his enabling grace. If he had not, by his enabling grace, drawn us, we would never have accepted Christ as Savior. And so thank God for that. Since salvation is 100% by grace, then we can do nothing to earn it. We can do nothing good enough to find it and nothing bad enough to lose it. I always like it when people say, well, what happens if you lose your salvation? You can't. There's nothing you can do that's bad enough that you can't be saved. And there's nothing you can do that's bad enough that you could lose your salvation once you got saved. People say, well, there are some people that just don't deserve to be saved. That would be every one of us. None of us deserve to be saved. But thank God that he cared enough, loved us enough, that he wanted all of us to be saved. And that's not just us here. That's everybody everywhere. God's desire is that all should come to repentance. That every single human being would come to know Christ as their own personal Savior. And I thank God that he's still in the saving business. There's nothing old-fashioned about sharing the gospel with people. It worked then, it still works today. And we just got to keep doing it. Then the witness of salvation. How do we witness of this salvation? Types of evangelism. There can be as many types of evangelism as there are soul winners with ideas to reach people for Christ. But these are some of the most common and greatly used. Confrontational evangelism, seeking our every possible opportunity to confront every possible person with the truth of the gospel. Door-to-door witnessing would be an example of this. My wife and I stopped and we got a bite to eat, and a gentleman sat down with us. It was kind of interesting. He sat down and he says, "I think I took your chair." "That's all right, I can sit right next over here. It's not a big deal." Didn't bother me. He's an elderly gentleman. And so then he started striking up and he says, "That is like the best Christmas tie I've seen." It's John 3:16. I didn't think of it as a Christmas tie. I thought of it as John 3:16. It's for God so loved the world, right? I wasn't thinking that I was dressing for Christmas. I was dressing because this tie goes well with this shirt. So I wasn't thinking that way. But anyway, we got to talking, and he said, are you a preacher? I said, yes, I am. So then he wanted to know, so I whipped out a tract and gave it to him, and he attends a church in Odessa. He says, Odessa is about 700 people, and we've got tons of churches. And he said, and the Baptist church made it to their 100-year anniversary, and the next day they closed their doors. I said, well, that's sad. He said, well, he says, you got to think about it. There's more churches than people almost. And he says, we got a couple of Episcopalian churches, a Methodist church, a Catholic church, and there's a no more Baptist church, apparently. And so I gave him the tract, and he sat down there, and he opened it up. He started reading it. We just share the gospel, right? Get it out to people. And it can be anywhere. A lot of people think, well, no, I have to go door to door to share the gospel. No, you don't. It's one of the ways, right? Then relational evangelism, living the Christian life before others and then utilizing our relationships and friendships as natural bridges with which to share the gospel. This should be used in conjunction with, not instead of, other types of evangelism. Then tract evangelism, as I said, pass out tracts, right? You can hand out tracts everywhere. Sharing the gospel through the sharing of our own personal testimony, even. People say, well, I don't know what to say. Tell them what happened in your life. You know that. Everybody knows what happened in their life. It's not that hard to share that. Say, this is what happened when God saved me. And then just tell them what happened. It's pretty easy. And then front door evangelism, the sharing of the gospel by inviting others to attend church services with us and thereby hear the gospel and trust Christ. I always liked it when I sold real estate and the clients would go with you. They'd want you to drive. Then all of a sudden there was a turn in the tide and everybody wanted to take their own vehicles. I thought, no, it doesn't work that way. You get in my car, because who's going to jump out of a car at 50 miles an hour or 35 miles an hour or 45 miles an hour? They're kind of a captive audience, right? They got to kind of listen to you. So I always liked that. But then when they decided they had to go in their own car, it didn't work so well. Well, I always have tracks in all the door pockets. I'd like to invite you to church. There's a little pamphlet in the side pocket there of the door. If you grab that, it'll give you the address and the times and everything right on it. It was perfect. Until things changed. Then I started mailing them out. I'd put them in my mailings. Send them to everybody. Can't hurt. I actually liked when I used to do it, and I did it for so many years that I finally gave up on it, but I used to send tracts in my bills. They'd send me the statement, and I'd write the check and all, and I'd put a tract in it and mail it back to them. I thought, I don't know who's going to get it on the other end, but maybe somebody who might need it. So I did that for years. I mean, there's all kinds of things you can do. Side door evangelism, sharing the gospel by inviting others to non-threatening extra church activities such as fellowships, Bible studies, concerts, church ball games, retreats, trips, etc., where they will hear the gospel. All kinds of things. Some people won't come to a traditional church service, but maybe missions conference, or maybe revival meeting, or maybe when we had West Coast here, maybe you can get people to come to those things when they wouldn't come to other things. Then there's a lot of churches that have bus evangelism, sharing the gospel through inviting children and families to ride vans and buses to church where they will hear the gospel. And then saturation evangelism, using every available means to reach every possible person with the gospel at every possible occasion. We have done just a saturation of the neighborhood. Instead of knocking every door, just putting information on everybody's door. Some people will do that because they don't have to talk to anybody. It's non-threatening, right? They just take that up and put it on the door and run to the next one. Wedding evangelism, including the gospel and its power to transform lives, marriages, and families in the wedding message when pastors have the opportunity to speak to large numbers of lost people. I always find that's a great opportunity because there's a lot of people who will attend a wedding that wouldn't think about darkening the doorstep of a church. But you can get the message out. Funerals, memorial services, another time to clearly present the gospel. And I make sure I do that at every one of those, even when they tell me, don't get all preachy and all, don't tell me what to do. Right? They don't get to tell me what I get to preach. They don't get to tell me what to do. They get to ask me if I accept, then I get to give what God gives me to give. And every single time I've heard, don't get all preachy, don't do this, don't do that, at the end they always say, that was a wonderful service. Thank God. But always a clear presentation of the gospel, because again, you're going to have people that would never go to a church service in a funeral or a memorial service, that at least they got the gospel. I have to tell you that there's a lot of missed opportunities, because I've been to a lot of them, where they don't even open the Word of God. And it's like, step aside and let me run this. You obviously don't know what you're doing, right? Why would you miss those opportunities? They're a great opportunity to share the gospel. Vacation Bible school and Bible club evangelism, using the highest interest level of children and greater receptivity of parents to children's events to invite community children to church and neighborhood events where the gospel can be shared. Some people show gospel films, and they bring people in and they have those in community centers or even prisons. Church planning and mission evangelism, carrying out the Great Commission by planting churches and missions in cities and countries around the world. Evangelism ministries, evangelism using resources from widely used ministries. Evangelism explosion, a soul-winning plan using intensive training to continually develop new soul winners. Faith evangelism, a soul-winning plan centered around Sunday school. There's many different ones out there. Survey evangelism, using a religious survey as an opening to share the gospel. We went to Rathdrum. I remember we had a survey that we went door to door and we asked people the questions on this survey. We got some people that were interested. And then when we tried to start a Sunday morning service, that got torpedoed, unfortunately. And things didn't work out quite as we thought they were going to. But God knew. But there's many people who got tracts. They got John and Romans. They got some information about what Jesus has to offer because we went and did that survey throughout Rathdrum. And then need-centered evangelism, sharing how Christ can meet the deepest felt needs of people's hearts during various times of crisis or need. Door-to-door, again, going door-to-door, sharing the gospel. Media evangelism, using radio, television, internet, mail, print, or other media to share the gospel. And then multiplication evangelism, winning people to Christ and then discipling them so that they can win others who can repeat the process. Starting with one person and doubling each year can reach 1,000 people in 10 years and the world over 8.5 billion people in just 33 years. But it takes people that want to do that. And unfortunately, the laborers are few, as we know. Then the Roman road to salvation, the soul winner's roadmap. All are guilty of sin, Romans 3:10 and 23. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And all deserve death in hell for their sin, for the wages of sin is death, as we know. Christ paid our debt for us and took our punishment for us by dying for us on the cross. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He now offers us salvation as an absolutely free gift of grace. People talk a lot about gifts this time of year, but the best gift of all is the free gift that Jesus Christ came and willingly offers to everyone. And then we receive Christ by believing on Christ in our hearts and calling upon God with our lips. In Romans 10, let's turn over there, right? We're real close there where we're already at. So Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then we have the ABCs of salvation. Admit you are a sinner. Believe on Christ as your Savior and call upon Christ as your Lord. And then Independent Baptist Church tract outline. We cannot get to heaven by being good, right? It should be very clear. You're not getting to heaven by being good, because so many people you talk to, that's the first thing they say. I hope my good outweighs my bad. Okay, well, at least you know you got bad, right? That's a good start. I had one lady we talked to, she said, I never sinned in my entire life. And I thank God that he puts his hand over my mouth sometimes before the words come out, because the first thing I thought of was, that was your first one then. We've all sinned. When God says everybody has sinned and come short of the glory of God, he meant everybody. And whether they believe it or not, it's true. So we can't get to heaven by being good. Christ paid our way to heaven on the cross, and heaven is a free gift accepted by faith. By faith. And then we're not going to have time to get through this, so we're going to wait on this one till next week. There's 27 secrets of successful soul winning. All right, we'll go on to prayer requests.